Thanks so much for tuning in to this particular episode of Showcase for the week ending Sunday, March 20th, 2022. My name is Don Shannon. With me today is, once again...
Back. It's Timothy Thompson.
Timothy Thompson, good to see you, man. It's been a long time. How you been, man?
Likewise. I've been very busy, very tired, but good to be here.
Well, thanks so much for spending a little time with us this weekend. Your weekend going good so far?
So far, so good. It's been better than I could have expected.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
All things considered.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I hope you're having a good weekend as well, and you're able to close the weekend out on a strong note with us for Weird News Headlines. We've got a lot to go through tonight. We may have one other person, maybe two other people joining a little bit later tonight. But for now, it's just me and Tim going ahead and kicking things off.
The dynamic duo back again.
Exactly. We're dressed alike. Look at that.
We are.
We've both got our Mega Man swag.
The Mega Man swag. I was about to say the same thing. Yeah.
Hashtag Blue Bomber. I forgot to put that in the
Blue Bomber Boys.
Exactly. Pretty much. Tim, you want to go ahead and tackle this first topic here?
First topic. The
zip line thing.
Oh, the kid that ran into the sloth. I was like, dude, that's insane. Still.
You have it up on your phone?
Yes, I do. So. Was it a kid in Costa Rica
who was hang on, I'm putting it up on screen for the others.
Okay.
This is, I think, as good as that's going to get. Yeah, it's an Instagram post on here. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, there was this kid in Costa Rica. He was in a wildlife park, mm-hmm. and he was riding this zip line, and apparently he was basically, he just kind of ran straight into a sloth.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. The sloth just happened to be there. I guess he was just climbing a tree, minding his business, but the kid was just, I don't know if he lost control of like being on the zip line or what have, but like,
wait, Tim, slow down. You're saying he just ran into a sloth on a zip line.
He's going on a zip line, and it just so happened that the tree that I guess the zip line was connected to, or the one he went past, mm-hmm. he crashed into a sloth. Sloth just kind of like caught him per se.
Okay. Well, there's a video attached. Let's see what's happening here.
Yeah.
And you go, no break. Look me.
This looks like a deleted scene from the third Jumanji movie. Oh,
I was thinking the same thing. See that right there? Yep.
Don't worry. Oh wow! Yeah. You can see it on the left side of the camera. There we go.
Yep.
What did I do about the sloth?
Don't worry.
Yeah.
What did I do about the sloth?
Where did he jump?
Sloth is just kind of he's crawling on. Oh no, he's gonna be doing this all day. He's gonna be doing this all day.
That's what it was. Sloth was on the zip line.
Oh, man. Hey, Grandma! Beep, beep! I don't know. Hey, Kiera, good to see you.
Hey!
Hey.
When did you just join us just now?
I did.
Welcome, good to see you again. How you feeling?
From the Ninja Smoke.
I'm good, how are you?
We're doing good. Thank you.
Good to see you again. And it's been a while.
Yeah. What's up, Tim?
Doing good.
I was just about to make this, make an epic reference. A wild Kiera appeared out of the tall grass or
something.
Almost
a few misses. She's like, she came out of the ninja smoke.
See, yeah, you're going with Naruto. I'm going with Pokemon. But like the gist is the same. The gist is the same. But yeah, so we were just, I don't know if you just caught this, Kiera, we're talking about this weird clip on Instagram. Some kid was on a zip line rope through the jungle, and it looks like he actually caught some traffic from a sloth. Did you see this clip?
No, but I saw it. The sloth like got on it.
Yeah.
He was already on the zip line, and he just have it run into it.
Sloths can actually run. I saw a video, like they can actually move.
Oh, what, when nobody's looking? Like, how do you...
like there's a dude, it was this video I saw of this sloth, like, it was, like, legit doing solid movement on the ground.
Huh.
Like, they can move, I think it's by choice, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's really like crazy.
They're also not the brightest animals either, because they're known to, like, fall off trees from, like, trying to grab their own limbs, thinking they're branches.
I don't know. I mean, it was disturbing though, because like but I don't know. That's cool though.
They're just literally built different.
Yeah. That's one way to put it. Let me see. Here we go. The owner of the park said the boy and the sloth were both uninjured. The owner said a group of zipliners had just passed through the area moments earlier, so the sloth would have had only a short period of time to climb the cable. I guess that can sort of like plus one what Kiara is saying about they can be fast when they sort of want to be, basically, because that's, you need to be able to book it a little bit to position yourself that way, I guess. But anyway, all right.
I mean, there's several trees in the area. Could have came from either one of them, but the fact that, yeah.
That's true, too. Anyway, those of you who are just joining us, thanks so much for watching our Weird News live stream for on Showcase for the week ending Sunday, March 20th, I almost said 22nd, 2022. If you're just joining us, don't forget to smash that like button and drop us a comment in the live chat, and we might read off your feedback live on the air.
Maybe tell us whatever weird news you found.
Exactly. Kiara, since you're here, hey, you want to go ahead and break down this piece for us here that you found off of Teen Vogue? This is... Okay. I think this has something to do with the new Spider-Verse movie that Sony wants to put out because they're desperate to replicate the success of No Way Home. here we are.
No Way Home is still in the movie theaters, by the way.
I know.
Yeah. And it's already out on digital. And the physical copy, I think, is going to be hitting on April 12th.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw it on the Twitters, but essentially, Sydney Sweeney, who plays on Euphoria as Cassie, is coming into the Marvel Universe.
That's why it's such a big deal. Euphoria.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's actually a very talented actor, to be quite honest. But you and Dakota Johnson, who I've not seen in anything for quite a while, is I guess back in the scene. But they are. I guess starting up a new Spider-Man film in the universe, and essentially what is going to happen is that I believe Dakota Johnson is playing Madame Web, and Sydney is playing either an anti-hero or a supporting character in the film. That's all that I read. I don't think they're going to. I mean, you know, they haven't. They haven't started shooting or anything, so it's like, you know, just a basic synopsis of what's going on.
Oh, these Spider-Man spin-offs.
I know. First Venom, then Morbius, and now we're getting this down the pipe. You know,
we're still getting Kraven too.
I was just gonna mention that next too. Yeah, you're right. And it's like, okay, can we like pump the brakes on this on the casting announcements here? Because it's like it feels like these Marvel films lately have been developing sort of a unique penchant for sort of going with really sort of unorthodox casting decisions in terms of who they wind up choosing for characters that aren't necessarily in the age range. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I think it's true. They're doing a whole new twist because, like, I think what it is that, like, Tom Holland doing Spider-Man gave a premise to say, and the fact that, like, you have a younger MJ, even Aunt May is younger, right? And then you, in the universe, Uncle Ben doesn't exist for whatever reason.
But it's more than that, Kiara. Like, it's a little bit more than that, though. It's like, you know, yeah, there's Marissa Tomei as Aunt May, but then there's, like, you know, Catherine Hahn in WandaVision. Like, that's right?
Agatha, yeah.
You can let it happen. I don't see a problem. I don't see a problem. I feel like it allows more inclusivity. And, like, to be honest with you, if you're talking about a multiverse, and a multiverse would be such said things of people, non-realistic people that you would never think would be in it. Like, I think this is great. I think what they're doing is that with Madame Web, you know, don't nobody want to see an old person.
But
it's a twist for whatever reason, and I think it'll come out pretty. I think we'll come out fine.
Rosemary Harris was pretty good in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, to be fair.
Oh yeah, no, like, no disrespect, but I just feel like it's a new generation where you want to try something new. Like this is big because it's like the first. They're saying it's like, you know, one of the first, like, Madame Web was one of the first, like, female centric comics.
Mm-hmm.
So to put that in film with a mostly, what I would presume, most female cast, has not been done in a while in the Marvel universe. Like, a female cast as a whole, you had a solo, but to have a female cast as a whole, it's a pretty big deal, you know? So
Tim, you look like you're deep in thought on this.
Because I had to, when you said like the multiverse, I was thinking about the fact that I could have remembered there only being one Madam Web. So I had to look into that and I was wrong. So there are different versions of Madam Web. So
that works.
Yeah, I was just remembering that for the most part, Madam Web connects like the entire Spider-Man multiverse. Mm-hmm. But doesn't necessarily mean that there's only one Madam Web either. So
right.
Are we looking forward to seeing this movie?
Definitely am.
Okay. I look forward
to it. Madam Web is a huge part of the Spider-Man mythos. So like...
And they're both very strong actors. You have people... What I like about this is you're getting people who are actually actual actors that actually do craft. And that's important as well. Like, I'm... No tea, no shade, but like, I'm tired of getting... In the past, you have people because they look good and they were well-known, but they did not.
Right. It was just a name to put in there. Yeah. It didn't really...
But like, get people who look well, but like also fit, like will also do their job. And I feel like will do their job. I think they haven't said what Sydney's role is, but I'm pretty sure Dakota is Madam Web.
She could be Silk, maybe?
It has.
Yeah. This Teen Vogue story actually says Dakota has been cast in the title role. So like that cements it. Also, the director is going to be S.J. Clarkson. It says, known for her work on the Marvel series Jessica Jones and the Defenders.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good then.
Yeah. So also, definitely going to be.
Rachel McAdams, she's going to be part of the Marvel universe somehow, some way, because she's in
Doctor. Already is. Right, right.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, like, she's going to become somebody. I don't know.
She's supposed to be technically Night Nurse in her character becomes Night Nurse in the comics, but they already have Night Nurse because that was
Rosario Dawson.
Thank you, Rosario Dawson. Yeah. But at the same time, she think is supposed to be like the third Night Nurse.
Sure.
So,
Oregon man wins $8.9 million from forgotten Christmas lottery ticket. Tim, you want to read this story off?
Bro, that would be my type of luck.
pull this up on your end and read the thing.
Yeah, I got to give you 1 second on that. Don't know why it's happening with my end right now. Oh no, I just had it. Yeah, so you got this ticket on Christmas Eve. Forgot about it.
You can read it. You can read it verbatim. You don't have to paraphrase it.
All right, well, you got the ticket. What was it?
His name. Why did he expose his name?
Yeah, that's another thing too. Is that nobody ever really does that. Usually, local Oregon man. No, this man Oregon straight up outed.
Do that, bro.
Yeah, aren't there like movies about this sort of thing? There's a good couple movies I can think of. Ah, jeez, I don't remember the name of it. What wasn't Bow Wow in a movie about this sort of thing where like he won a lottery ticket and the whole community came knocking?
Yeah.
I don't remember what that's called. God, was it literally called Lottery Ticket?
Yes. I worked in the theater when that movie came out. It was literally called Lottery Ticket.
Wow. Original.
But it said he bought it at a Moose Lodge. There was like 13 weeks worth of drawings and he just like kept seeing it. It's like, forgot about his ticket because I was like, this one's not a winner. It's not going to win this one. Da, da, da. Finally went back to the Moose Lodge, scanned it, and found out he just won $8.9 million.
Man. I mean, belated Merry Christmas indeed, I think is the takeaway from that. I mean, can you imagine just like, first of all, can you imagine like you think you're totally done with Christmas and like you're cleaning up from everything, you're about to throw out a bunch of stuff and then you see like, oh, wait a minute, there's a lottery ticket here that somehow got swept up in the and then you scratch it off. Holy crap, I almost threw away $9 million. Like
it happens.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, and
go ahead.
He even chose to do like the he didn't really get it in the lump sum. He's on like a 30-year payment on it, so he's going to get like,
which is fine.
Yeah, which is the smarter option, more than like honestly, in my opinion.
Still going to get hit with a lot of taxes, though.
It says after taxes, he'll get an annual check of about $200,000.
That's some good bread, though.
Yeah, it is. And he donated $89,000 to the lodge that he got the ticket from.
Oh, nice. Okay, all right. So, how much to charity and like, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing. But I mean, it's his money, I guess. I don't know. But I don't know. That's just me thinking aloud. Anyway, all right, let's go ahead and like, did Kara, any other thoughts on this before we move on, or?
No.
It's a heck of an investment. $25 ticket for $8.9 million.
You know, shout out to you, Oregon man.
Yeah, shout out to you, local Oregon man, Wilbur Brown.
Exactly.
Wilbur.
Looks on the internet now.
I'll take this next one here. This is again from UPI. Flock of escaped chickens ride shotgun to Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru.
There are so many questions I have about that one. Like, still.
This is published Thursday. I think Thursday was the 17th, 1917. Yeah. Okay, so a flock of escaped chickens that wandered through busy main roads ended up riding shotgun through a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru in an animal control officer's service vehicle. Animal Control Officer Jessica Jackson of the Casco Naples Raymond Harrison Regional Animal Control Department, wow, that's a lot of location identifier information, said she was called out Wednesday on a report of a flock of loose chickens wandering through traffic on routes 302 and 11 in Naples. Okay, and this is in Maine? Here's a YouTube clip. Let's try and take a look at this. Wow.
Okay. Look at all those chickens.
Yep. Wow. Now, okay. See, here's what bothers me about this. I know this is an animal control vehicle, you know, not really any, you know, serious, like this isn't an actual, like, you know, like sheriff vehicle or something like that. But like you clearly have what's like a computer mount on there. You know, yeah. Last thing you want is an animal walking across your computer keyboard and then you press delete and get sucked into the internet and turn into Freakazoid. Like you don't want that. You don't want these are you things want you that. Don't want on the clock to at taxpayers' yeah. expense.
The odds no, are slim sir, to none, ma'am. The odds are slim to none, but never zero.
Yeah, exactly. And then press delete. I don't know. What's it been? 25 years since that show, Tim?
Don't age me. But probably.
Kiara, did you ever see that show? Kiara, did you ever see that show?
I don't know what y'all talking about.
So. Freakazoid? Oh, man. A staple of the 90s?
Exactly. No. All right. Well,
WB
anyway,
kids? Like
something. Okay. Hashtag Dexter Douglas. We'll get it trending.
Hashtag bring back Freakazoid.
Well, there you go. educate the modern people. But anyway. Yeah, so this is a goodness. There's a lot in here. Hopefully didn't lay too many eggs in there. When the cameras weren't on.
I just love that they said they didn't have enough kennels for the chickens because there were just so many chickens.
Yeah, I'm just seeing that right now. Jackson used dog kibble to lure the chickens into the back seat of her car and realized too late the sliding door separating the back seat from the front was open. And so that's how they wound up in the front seat like that. Wow. That's crazy.
Because the article makes it seem like the chickens are the one driving the car. That's what like originally was like, that don't seem right.
No. But it's swiping left on that.
Oh, it's from Florida, ain't it?
Nope, Maine. But anyway, that's what, it seems like a Florida thing to have happen. It's that's just that random. Like,
this has to happen in Florida.
Yeah. Let's try and move along to the next topic here. Tim, your turn. Pampered pooch transforms into Tigger with extreme 10-hour makeover.
Yeah, so I saw that because this one kind of, I won't say hits home, but like my girlfriend is a dog groomer. So like I can only imagine the amount of work that goes in for this.
Really?
Yeah. So, because this woman.
Okay, read it off. What do you got?
Jessica Holloway, 28, from Toronto, Canada, who is now a full-time creative dog groomer, sends up to £1,000 a year on premium rainbow colors to dye her 3-year-old poodle's coat.
A little bit slower, Tim. A little bit slower. Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, she spends £1,000 a year on premium rainbow colors to dye her 3-year-old poodle's coat. And as you can see here, this is the look for Tigger. I think she's been doing it for different characters. Yeah. She spends £1,000 a year turning her beloved service dog Walter into well-known field characters from Monsters Inc., Alice in Wonderland, The Matrix. Okay. Something else and
wow,
Toy Story, Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Over the past 2 years, I spent around £2,000 on colors, which lasts up to 20 washes. So. That dog won't stay that way for a while.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this particular image that's on screen right now, the side by side comparison. You couldn't pay me to believe
that that's the same
picture
dog
on the left. More than that, that looks like they photoshopped the actual Tigger's front legs on top of a real dog. Like, that's what this looks like to me. That looks like a plush animal, the plush Tigger toy that was actually used in the thing. Kira, what are your thoughts on this?
Two things. What type of job do you have to have this type of time and money? Because Canadian oos dollars is more expensive than oos dollars.
She's
number two. I hope that she got a tip to do all of this, because this looks, my hand hurts from looking at this, because I know
so
that is hard creasing labor.
Right, but this is her own dog and she is a dog groomer.
Oh, I didn't know it was her own dog.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I must have misspoken that part. Yeah, this is her dog. She's her service dog. And she's a creative dog groomer. So she already basically does this, but this is on a bigger scale.
Significantly.
Else's dog. Well, you know, that's just a lot. That's a lot for a dog. That's a lot. That's like,
euros.
That's like three children in one that you're doing on expense and maintenance. It is. It's like, that's like a baby times three. I mean, like, I guess, you know, I hope the dog likes it. Does the dog like it? That's
yeah, she says that, what was it? She says he's very, he behaves very well and is just happy to like do it.
I think she should make it into a thing, you know.
Yeah, Walter is incredibly well behaved and is happy to sit there while Jessica trims, colors, and blow dries his fur. So
he should be a model.
We have a comment in the feed. We have a comment.
He's a model, looks like.
Sorry. We have a comment in the feed. Jennifer NVA says, very creative heart emoji. There you go. Like, that's a nice little sort of encapsulation of this. Like, that's probably like the simplest way to react to this, basically.
Like I said, my girlfriend's a dog groomer. I've seen the work she's done on regular dogs. So I can only imagine the amount of work it takes for this.
Yeah. Definitely plus one in Jennifer's comment there. Thanks for commenting. Don't forget to smash that like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Let's see, let's move on to the next topic here. We're rolling right along here. About halfway, maybe like somewhere between a third and halfway through the show here. Let's see. Come on. Goodness. Come on. The web browser doesn't really. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, there's where we left off. Okay. Woman endured high level of pain after getting black tattoo covering whole arm. This is from the Mirror, a UK publication, again, that was doing that just did the story about the dogs getting made up. Let me see here. Here we go. So a woman is said to have endured a high level of pain. Okay. The body art fan visited artist Kay Letatour. I'm not pronouncing that right. I apologize. Kay Letatour in C-A-E-N, Cain, France, and asked for a blackout tattoo on her left arm so her hand would resemble a glove, as the Daily Star reports. The tattoo artist shared a video of the inking to TikTok, and the customer is seen lying on a reclining chair facing towards the wall while they get to work with the needle. The professional runs the tattoo gun back and forth over the skin, covering the front and back of the arm before adding a triangle shape on the back of her hand to create a clever illusion. Reactions?
Why? Like, I already have a fear of needles, I don't have any tattoos either. I want some, don't get me wrong, but like, not that.
What kind of tattoo would you get, Tim?
I mean, I've got several different ideas. There's an idea I want to have one on the back of my hand. I got sleeve ideas, a chest piece. Like, I just don't know where to start.
The back of your hand one. Would you use that to convey how well you know something?
Yes, funny enough. There's a symbol I want to do from Magic the Gathering, and that's been like my favorite color combination. I've been playing Magic the Gathering for over 10 years, so it means a lot to me. So yeah, so that one I do know like the back of my hand.
There you go. Kira, what are your thoughts?
You know, I know art is subjective, but this one, that don't make no sense.
Yeah, it just
First of all, the healing process. Second of all, I hope that she doesn't get an infection, and or
I didn't think about that.
It's ruined, like, because to do that in one session, that's a heavy amount of shading. Like that, it's pitch black.
That almost looks like if I didn't see the reflection of light off the forearm, I would think that's almost Vanta black. That's how black that is.
I was about to make the joke too. It looks like that level of black.
I don't know about this one, Chief.
It's blackety black black with a side of black. Dipped in black.
The video has been viewed more than 5 million times. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Kira, finish your thought.
No, I mean, like, I know people who have, heavy shading of black on their arms, but people usually do that for a cover-up. But the fact that you're doing this on purpose for your hand, that don't make no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. The context on the article goes on. The video has been viewed more than 5 million times, and many viewers were stunned by the extreme tattoo. Sorry about that. Ah, jeez. I'm using my Xbox controller to control the internet browser here. Let's see. One person asked, why would you do this? Tell me why. So why? Thank you, Tim. A second said, people would do anything for attention. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Some said the design reminded them of black clothing, but the viewer suggesting, quote, just wear a black t-shirt, end quote. Another penned, quote, I will design a black glove for you for free, but please don't do that, end quote. Again, like that would, you're right, that would have been a far simpler thing to do. Others who have had tattoos done in the past guessed the woman had endured a high level of pain with all the wiping motion the tattoo artist was doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's one of those things where like common sense sort of conveys, like unless you're covering up something really messed up, like don't do this to yourself. We have another comment in the live chat feed right now. Thank you, Brain Spaz. That is insane. Her whole arm seems like a deep psychological issue working there, to say the least.
Maybe for her, it's obviously a deeper meaning. It has to be a deeper meaning. I don't think you don't do this for fun.
Right. I mean, everybody gets a tattoo for a reason.
Right. I mean, you can get a tattoo to just get a tattoo. I don't know. There's plenty of people who I've seen have great subjective work. But like this is a deeper meaning. I think this is like psychological.
Where's the Da Vinci Code?
Work. And that's okay. But you can also go to therapy and not.
Somebody call Tom Hanks. I want to figure this out.
Wait, what do you mean by Da Vinci Code? What are you saying? Like, she's like that person
finding
from the movie
that was like trying to find the meaning behind this. Yeah. Like, what other reason would you have to tattoo your entire arm black?
I don't know.
I thought you were talking about from the pain standpoint, like the scene with the guy with the cat of nine tails whipping himself.
That too. there's just too many questions here, not enough answers.
I think she's going through something.
I'm left literally in the dark.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. Once again, thank you guys for tuning in live to Weird News Live here on Showcase for the week ending Sunday, June. My God, Sunday, March 20th.
Don is out here time traveling. Greetings from the past, future,
Sunday,
present.
March 20th, 2022. Smash that like and subscribe button. Let's move on.
Showcase has now officially gone multiversal.
God, don't get me started. I'm still trying to brace for impact with the new Doctor Strange film in May. Don't get me started on that.
I cannot wait. It launches on my birthday.
Really? May 20th? That's your birthday.
May 6th. It comes on May 6th.
May 6th? I thought it was the 20th. It was May 6th? Okay, cool.
I'll be 30 years old watching Doctor Strange.
Ooh. Wow. Okay. So how long after that will you get your AARP benefits? Like, that's like...
I don't know. When did you get yours?
I mean, a while ago. Ooh, there you go. Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen. Who are you fooling? I'll be 35 in October, okay?
Right, I'm gonna say, don't come after me. I know how old you are.
No. Hey, listen. I make no like qualms, you know. I don't have a problem, you know,
pot
putting
me
it
kettle.
Out there.
Yep.
Pot me kettle, exactly. Okay, Tim, you're up next here. This is Back to the Mirror again. Mom cancels daughter's birthday party, then makes her call her friends to explain. Are you looking at this, man?
Wrong.
This sounds like a parental punishment gone off the rails.
She acted up.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture here. The context here says, hang on, the context at the bottom of the screen says her daughter had been talking about a girl in her class behind her back. So the mom.
Oh, we don't like a gossiper, you know? It's about what she said. What did she say? She must have said something foul.
Tim, read it off. What do you got?
Okay. A mom has been slammed online after she canceled her daughter's birthday party, then made her call her friends to explain why. In a post on Reddit, the anonymous woman explained that her daughter Abby just turned 11 and was supposed to have a birthday party with the girls in her class. She went on to say that her daughter has autism and ADHD and struggles to make friends. So this would have been her first ever birthday party outside the immediate family. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, her best friend Taylor was unable to attend as she was away with her family that weekend.
Wait, Tim, back up that last sentence. I'm sorry, a little slower. Sorry.
Unfortunately, her best friend Taylor was unable to attend as she was away with her family that weekend.
Oh.
Day before the party, I was letting Abby use my phone to give her classmates the time and location information I overheard this exchange. Sorry. Yeah. She continued. Other girl, is Taylor going to be there? Abby, no, she's lame and can't come. The mom said that she demanded Abby get off the phone and explain herself. She tried to tell me that she wasn't serious, but I thought it was incredibly mean to call her only friend lame and feel like she was behaving horribly. So basically, yeah, she canceled her birthday party because she didn't feel like she was treating her friend nicely. So you be mean, you don't get a birthday.
You know what? That's effective parenting.
Now reading the article, yeah, I get that too. So like,
that's effective parenting. It is.
No, because you don't get to be rewarded for being mean.
Yeah, she'll learn from it. She'll be all right. You can have another birthday.
She's 11. She'll get plenty more.
Wait, you can't even do anything. 11. You'll be all right. Just wait until you're 12.
I don't even remember my 11th birthday.
Really? What? How much of your birthday do you remember that year?
I don't. Wait, that might have been when I got my keyboard. That might have been when I got my first keyboard. I think it was 11 or 10. So.
Computer keyboard or music keyboard?
Music keyboard.
Music keyboard. Okay. I was about to say, wait. Actually, yeah, that was a dumb
question.
I
still have it to this day.
You still have the original keyboard to this day?
Under my futon right now.
Wow, awesome. Hey, compose something? Let's make a video around it.
Composure.
you remember how to play that?
I'd rather not. That one has a broken key. Oh. But I do have another keyboard too. So if I do, I'll probably use that one instead. But for flavor, I could probably use the other one.
Well, hey, worst case scenario, you could just do that Bugs Bunny thing. Da 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 da. But like, you know, keep Daffy away from it because you don't want them to blow up on the last.
Pulling a full family guy because the light up keyboard, so I can play like whatever notes and it'll still play the rest of the song. It's one of those.
Oh my god. Light up keyboards. Now I'm flashing back to that Tom Hanks movie Big. Remember like that giant walk on keyboard?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't
know. Yeah. Anyway. So, but back to this topic here, put yourselves in the position of the parent. If this was your kid, like, would you have done the same punishment? Because it sounds like the answer was yes, but like, what, can you like elaborate further?
I mean, you know, here's, I'm going to be devil's advocate for the child. So okay. She has autism, ADHD, and something else. Autism is a spectrum. You know, but most people who I know, and I have friends who have autism, people who are autistic, they are very, very bold and very, very truthful in what they say, because the way that they process things socially, they don't have social awareness, right? So like, you know, how our parents say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Like people who have autism generally speak everything that they feel and or see. That's just the common factor that I have seen and people who I know who are autistic. And maybe for her, yes, it's a mean thing, but she may not know fully why, or it's the fact that she just knows and she doesn't care. And that's just how, that like, that's just how she is.
Right.
If she was my kid, you know what, here's the other thing. This might not be the first time that she's done this, right? Like, I don't think as a parent, when you first hear your kid do this, you genuinely, I would think you would talk with your child, right? But if it's a continuing pattern and she's 11, so, you know, she's getting into an older age where she's going to stop saying people are lame, and you're going to go even further beneath the belt. Her mom is trying to stop the pattern.
The last straw. This happened because it's the last straw.
So I genuinely feel like this is effective, right? You're not yelling at her. There is no verbal abuse. There is no physical abuse. It's a simply, you're not having a party. And then on top of that, you are taking control of your actions, and you are the one that has to take accountability and tell your friends why you can't have the party. I think it's very effective because it gives you a lesson, she learned something, and you get to process what you did and why. Especially for somebody who is your quote unquote best friend.
Yeah, so, yes, that's true. I think it's
effective parenting. Shout out to the mom. I like it.
that makes sense. Tim, do you agree?
Yeah, like I said, it's about not rewarding bad behavior and stopping it before it becomes worse and becomes a pattern, and letting her know that I don't want to say I appreciate who you're becoming, but I want to curb this before it gets worse. So
yeah. You know, and for people who back, you know, it's usually because, you know, parenting is subjective. I feel like half of it is people who, you know, oh, well, why would you do that? And then she's going to grow up as broken and she's not going to hate you and yada, yada, yada. But like, you know, she did the best that she could in the situation. I've seen worse. I've seen parents take away kids' birthdays parties because, you know, of a simple task, you know, like they felt like they were being smart, or you got a C on your report card, so you can't have a birthday party. To me, that's a major extreme. That's a very major extreme, because that's like, you're saying you can't have a party because you're stupid. And I'm just like, come on now. This, you know, it's subjective, but I think it's fitting.
Let's go ahead and move on to another topic. This, Tim, this is another animal related one. You want to take this one too?
Sure thing. Why does my phone keep doing this? All right. Which one was this one again? This was...
So I named my dog in honor of my late mom, but family says it's disrespectful.
Like, why?
Why?
You tell us. Pull up the piece. Read it.
Sensing some jealousy.
The text at the bottom of the image says, she named her rescue dog Penelope. This is Penelope, it looks like.
She looks like a Penelope.
Okay, my family has said that they think it's very weird and disrespectful. They said if I wanted to honor her, I should have taken my mother's cat when she passed instead of asking my brother to. Questioning why her dog's name has caused such commotion within their family, the woman isn't seeking the opinions of other dog owners. One user said, you're allowed to name your dog whatever you want. Your family is allowed to be uncomfortable with you naming a dog after the recently dead family member. In agreement, another added, it's not weird or disrespectful. My dad named two dogs at separate times after his late brother. People find comfort in it, and your family's a bit weird for being so upset about it. I don't understand, like, why your family, like, it just shows that it keeps that person around. It keeps that memory there. For instance, my grandmother passed when I was like 14. My whole thing was being able to name my first daughter after my grandmother because I loved her so much. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to be able to keep that name around. I want to be able to have something to represent the memory of that person that was close to me. And I understand completely of her naming her dog after her mom. Mm-hmm. So.
Grief is weird with people.
Grief is.
Like, for real, to be quite honest with you, maybe for them, it really is just, it's an animal. Like, why would you degrade the name to an animal? That's probably, you know, the viewpoint. I think that's just the process of grief. Like, some people, they are very sensitive with just certain things, and maybe for them it's too soon. They feel like it's just a slap in the face. Like, she's a dog, not a human. Maybe if it was a baby.
What if there's additional context that we're not even looking at here that would explain the reluctance of the rest of the family? What if, like, I don't know, what family member who passed didn't like dogs or was allergic to dogs, or a dog was involved in the conditions of her passing? You know,
I mean, we don't know, but like, you know, it's too late now. She already named the dog.
Yeah. But I mean, because it's really easy to sort of look at the surface level of a topic like this, like it's a rescue dog and a family member has passed and this dog is being named in memory of this beloved family member. And it's like, on the surface, it feels like an overreaction. This is one of those headlines that on the surface feels like it's going extra, but without the additional context of like where that reluctance from the rest of the family comes from, it really just kind of looks like just that, and we're all just left grasping at straws as to where the rest of the context is coming from. Tim, does it say anything else?
Does it? Oh, sorry. yeah, what was it? Oh yeah, another user added, it is kind of odd, but that's all right, I guess. Everyone grieves differently. You probably should have named her something resembling your mother's name instead of her actual name, though.
Tim, sorry, a little fast, sorry.
Sorry, I don't know why I have that habit. Sorry, we're just trying to get it from the family's perspective, because I'm not seeing anything in what they've said about it, other than it being just weird and whatnot.
Okay, so either the family didn't tell this to the reporter, or basically it just never came up. Like, either the family deliberately chose not to explain the context, or it just didn't come up.
The context of why she named her after her mom?
Yes. Oh well. Yeah. Excuse me. Why the family? We know why the name was given. We don't know why the family was reluctant. Why they're not accepting the name? They say it's disrespectful. Why?
That's what I'm saying. They don't really say anything why about that. It's just that it's weird and disrespectful, and that she should have taken the cat instead.
Hmm.
So, like, I don't personally, like I say, I don't understand it. I would have done the same thing. Especially with my mom, she loves dogs, so she. Yeah.
I was about to say, like, who doesn't love dogs? Who doesn't at the absolute least like dogs? You know?
The movie wasn't called what was the movie? It was called Must Love Dogs, but the movie wasn't called I had a whole there. Joke about this.
Come on, Tim, you got it. Come on, Tim.
Brain fart.
Okay. Sorry, I don't. No.
You know what I was going with, though.
I do.
The train of thought was there.
How about this? Must generally tolerate the approximate vicinity of dogs.
Must genuinely tolerate four-legged creatures.
There you go. Close enough. So this is, we have another comment in the live feed. Giving the name to an ugly dog might have seemed disrespectful, but this dog is cute, so it seems like a nice thing to do.
It's an adorable dog, like...
There you go. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for the comment. And let's see. Let's go ahead and move right along.
Don.
Yeah.
So it's about that time.
Oh, it's 6:50. We only have like a few more topics left anyway, but I guess you gotta bounce.
I have to go ghost, unfortunately.
I guess Amity Park isn't gonna protect itself, huh?
No, it's not.
The box ghost! Beware! Yes, I just did that impression. Yes.
It feels pretty good, actually. I ain't gonna lie.
Why, thank you.
Beware!
All right. Beware. Anyway. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Tim. Have a great night. Hopefully we'll see you again later in the week. You want to remind people about your JoJo video that actually just hit, we just hit 100 views after only a couple days or so.
Sweet.
Earlier today.
All right, yeah.
Tell people a little bit more about it.
Yeah, so guys, I am a huge fighting game fan and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure nerd. And so recently we did a trailer breakdown on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R, which is a new fighting game releasing for PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox, all the consoles.
Except PS3.
Because the original came on PS3. So check that out. I give a breakdown on... basically an overview of the JoJo lore, as well as what we can expect in the upcoming game. So
nice. Yeah, thanks so much again for putting that video together, and great job to Alonzo, who's not with us tonight basically, but he basically took point on the editing for that.
Super shout out to Alonzo, because it's an amazing video, super well done. So
definitely. All right, have a great night, Tim. We'll catch up later.
Catch you guys later.
Yeah. all right, later. Kiara, you still there?
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Next topic, pregnant woman gifts husband $650,000 Lamborghini so he will care for her and the baby day and night.
Make no sense. Oh my God.
Okay.
How you want that man to do his job as a dad that he's supposed to do? You're bugging.
This is from Yahoo News.
Yo, you're bugging.
So that money could have gone to diapers or like food.
They have money. You have to be rich to do. You have to be. There's no way that they can be middle class or poor. There's no way. I don't want to hear it. But okay. This, no.
This is from Yahoo News, published, I guess this was Tuesday, March 15. A pregnant Malaysian woman shared a video online in which she surprises her husband with a $650,000 Lamborghini in anticipation of his dedicated caretaking of her and their baby. Anez Ayuni Osman, 19, uploaded the video to TikTok. What? Go ahead. What? You're shaking your head here.
She's 19.
Yeah. Uploaded the video to TikTok on March 12th.
Wrong, Don.
Showing viewers how she surprised her husband by taking him into a car dealership blindfolded. In the video, her husband, 20-year-old Veldan Zulkifli, I'm so sorry, I cannot pronounce this name. But we'll put the links in the description as well. In this YouTube video, and those of you who are listening on the podcast version, please refer to the YouTube video for the description links for this as well. Her husband cries from happiness after seeing the turquoise Hurricane Evo. This is what I know about luxury cars. Hurricane Evo wrapped with a giant red bow. Osman is a cosmetics entrepreneur from Kelantan, Malaysia, where she plans to stay at her family's home while recovering postpartum. She is due at the end of March and plans to have a C-section birth, after which she expects to be confined for over 3 months. Since its posting, this video has received 1.5 million views and 160,000 likes, with many TikTok users congratulating the couple and commenting on the sweet moment. Any additional thoughts, Kira?
I'm trying to figure out why you pay your husband to do something that he's supposed to do in general.
That seems to be the $650,000 question.
Here's the thing, right? Because this is the crazy part, right? Like, this is incentive to say you have to be a good father, right?
You have to be what? I'm sorry, say again.
This is the incentive saying you have to be a good father. I have a question.
Good father.
This questions a lot. This is questionable. You don't, because does that mean he's even a good husband? Because I've never heard of such. The fact that she's 19, just okay. But you know what? She is obviously a 6-7-figure businesswoman. Maybe in this culture, this is what y'all do. I don't know. I just hope he takes care of the child. Let's just hope he actually does his job. Not because of the car either, just because that's your kid. Right. Because I don't know about this one, but you know, that's rich people's problems, that I pray to have problems like that one day. That's just crazy. This don't make no sense.
To my untrained eye, this looks like a blue version of that red car that they drove from like between those two buildings in Abu Dhabi, I think it was, in Furious 7. You remember that?
Yes. Did you ever see that movie? I did. There's so many of them. I think that was like the scene where they were at like a birthday party or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everyone was all in these fancy suits.
It's probably a similar car like that. I mean, you know, I don't know. Do what you gotta do, I guess.
Let's see. Osman said the gift is partially the
card when you got a newborn. Though this is what I'm saying. It don't add up. How you got time to drive the Lambo?
The wife said that the gift is partially the result of her gratitude for her husband's sacrifices, but that the main reason for her is her anticipation that the husband will be taking care of her and her baby around the clock. She says, quote, I'm expecting my husband to not only be with me all the time, but he has to care for the baby day and night, because there's a huge possibility I'll be having a cesarean birth. Moms out there will know how painful a C-section is, so I want more attention from my husband, end quote. So there you go. I guess
the shoe is on the other foot, because this happens all the time with men and their wives. So she's essentially like giving him an allowance, paying him to be a stay-at-home.
I've never heard of an allowance being this. I've never heard of that before. Maybe this is like Western culture talking here, but
it happens all the time over here. You know, there's a lot of women who are stay-at-home moms that essentially have allowances of how much money you get, or, you know, through gifts or whatever, because you're a stay-at-home mom. He's a stay-at-home dad, and right? She's in a position of power. I'm just saying, she was on the other foot.
I mean, that's fair. If you're the breadwinner and that's what you feel like doing, you know, that's what you want to do, like, more power to you, obviously. Like, I'm just thinking about this story in the context of, like, an American marriage, an American relationship, because I have not heard of.
I mean, I've seen it all the time.
To be fair, I don't watch, like, the Real Housewives reality shows or like anything along those lines, because that's what comes to my mind when I think of, like, what kind of economic class do you have to be in where this is feasible? You know, that's what comes to my untrained mind.
Well,
pardon my ignorance, but it's, yeah.
No, you're fine. I mean, you know, there are people, I mean, I've seen this all the time. I mean, I know people who, this is, like, their thing. This is their niche.
Okay.
And it is what it is. It's just, it's nutty. For me, it's the incentive is with a kid. Like, it's something outside of both of y'all. That should be our responsibility is what gets me. You know, but, you know, it is what it is.
This is, again, from UK's The Mirror. I cut my dates down to 10 minutes each. It helps me weed out men I don't like. Is the headline.
Multitasker. She is efficient. Innovative.
So, okay, here we go. This is again from The Mirror. And here we go. Dating can be ridiculously difficult at times, especially when you spend hours of your day with a person you don't particularly gel with and end up coming home emotionally exhausted. But singleton Emily Vernem has seemingly come up with the perfect strategy for avoiding all that bad date nonsense, as she makes sure the first date she has with someone only lasts 10 minutes, although she will stretch it to 30 if she's really enjoying herself. The woman shared her story to Mamma Mia's The Lonely Girl's Guide, where she said she arranges quick dates of up to a half an hour with men to check whether she likes them before going on a real date. And if she isn't feeling it, she leaves after just 10 minutes. This is a self-controlled speed dating sort of thing, it looks like. She's from Australia and admits dates are often emotionally draining, end quote, for her, no matter how successful they are. So her, quote, pre-date screening, end quote, method helps her weed out the bad apples. To carry out her quick meetings, Emily will text a bloke she's planning a date with and will tell them she's in their area and looking to grab a quick coffee. So, Kara, what's your vibe on this?
I'm here for it. Do it. Sure. You know, it's, I think dating culture, the way that it is now, it's so exhausting that she's really like, if you're not to the point of, or, you know, what you want, then bye. I see nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
I like, you know, it does. It saves you time. I think it's, you know, it's a shame to, like, go on a date, waste your time with somebody, and it's like small talk or just, you know, just lengthy conversation of nothing. And it leaves you like, this was a waste of my time. You know, I think, you know, in the eyes of most people, it's, oh, she's ruthless and she's a gold digger and everything. It's like, no, I think this is a woman. She knows what she wants in a person, and she just genuinely feels like, you know, 10 minutes, sure, but like, she just, I think it's in her mind, it's like, if I can't have an honest conversation in the matter of 3 to 5 minutes of authenticity, then it's not worth my time. And I respect that, because time is worthy.
And money, also money.
Yeah. So
yeah.
What?
I mean, have you ever done, because I used to do, like, several years ago, there were a couple of times where I went on speed dating sort of events. Is that something that you've ever done or would ever consider doing?
Maybe, I don't know. People are weird and they're trash. So it's.
I'm talking like face-to-face is the version that I went on, like pre-pandemic, I would do face-to-face.
Face-to-face, even people. Are just weird and they're trash. I think maybe I would do it. It just, I feel like speed dating, it's effective to a degree, but then also it's like high anxiety because it's like you don't know what to say. Maybe I would try it. I don't know. I feel like the best way to meet a person is like just randomly or just in a setting where it's like open and active. Forcing people to sit down and do a date like that, it adds pressure. But you know, maybe I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just, you know, but her method is smart. Okay. Her method is like, for people, like, if you shoot your shot, like, are you serious about shooting your shot? She wants to get down to the intention, and I like
the nitty gritty of it. Like, why am I here? I can do bad all by myself. Yeah. Don't waste my time.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, she genuinely is searching for somebody, and shout out to her. I hope she finds the person.
All right, let's do one more. We have one last topic left. This is that bizarre human looking dog story that kind of threw me for a loop, if I'm being brutally honest. We'll make that our last topic for the night, and then we got to go ahead and shut this stream down. Thanks once again for tuning in tonight. Here we go. Let's see. This is the mirror again. My puppy looks so much like a human. Strangers ask if he's actually a dog.
I don't believe that, because
so that's, I mean,
it looks like a dog. What's she talking about right now? What are you talking about right now?
I don't know. Maybe like check its paw to see if there's like a supernatural ring somewhere on its paw. Like, you know, that would explain it. You know,
that's the dog.
The Shaggy Dog. You never saw that movie? No? That classic movie from the 60s? Okay.
But like, that's a... Okay. All right.
So it's common for dog owners to be stopped in the street by strangers eager to stroke and meet their pet, but not many people can say they've been asked if their dog is actually a dog. Natasha Mattson, 24, from Lincoln, has members of the public convinced that her puppy, Winston, is a human trapped in a dog's body. The five-month-old ginger cockapoo has passersby questioning if he's really a person, as his adorable face and big green eyes appear human-like. Natasha said, quote, whether it's when we are out in public with Winston or people commenting on his photographs on social media, we always have people telling us they are convinced Winston is a person and not a dog. I kind of see a dog here. Maybe it's because like the picture on the right here, like where you clearly see the dog sitting on the lap of a person, you know, that for scale or whatever, like that clearly sort of, you know, helps mitigate that. But that being said, listen, prosthetics can do amazing things. Photoshop can do amazing things. Although Photoshop, it's, you know, that has no effect in real life, obviously, when you encounter an animal like this in real life. But it's, I wouldn't go so far as to say that that's to suspect that that's a human. That really is clearly a dog. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes in somebody's thought space there necessarily. Kara, any last thoughts on this topic? This seems like a pretty one and done story, honestly.
Yeah.
I was just morbid curiosity here, but go ahead.
No, I don't. Who asked? I need some statements, because I don't.
I need names. I need locations. I need numbers.
I think you made this one up. I think she made this one up.
I mean, it's a legit sort of suspicious thing there, I guess.
So what you think is a baby? You think that's a toddler? Why would the toddler be walking on the ground? Why does the toddler have so much hair?
Natasha and her partner, Joe Hollyhead, 24, brought Winston home as a puppy on Christmas Eve and set him up an Instagram account to document his doggy life. I don't understand that. I don't understand. You know what really grinds my gears? When people make social media accounts for their pets. You know, like I know some people who will make a social media account for their toddler, you know, when they're like too young to even have a phone. Like that's okay. That's one thing, you know, right? At least this is a person, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're making a social media account for an animal, or worse, a plant or something other that's non-human, but you're going to go to the trouble of invent a social media presence for this. Why? To what end? Why are you doing this? That makes no sense to me.
It's to preserve photos, videos, like a little document. I mean,
that's why you have your own account. Why would you do that? No,
so like
put in your iCloud.
My cousin, one of my cousins, like they have an Instagram account for their dog. And I think it's a way to just document, you know, your dog and your animal and kind of share it with other people. I don't get it, but people do it because like Instagram is the new photo album. Like like, I'm pretty sure anybody who's born past 1999, they don't have photo albums of, you know, their kids. You don't have a photo album.
You're talking about like the real, like, developed film, like, yeah, you actually have, yeah, to go, yeah, to, yeah, like a CVS, yeah, like get it developed, or Walgreens, like, or whatever.
You know, like my parents took me, you know, to get photos done, and, you know, like, nobody does that anymore. So, like, I think it's just a way to document things. That's just what it is. And yes, you can do it on your own Instagram, but your own Instagram is for you, and the dog Instagram is for your dog. Like, I don't know.
It just seems a bit extra to me, but
it is. I see them all the time. It's a lot of work. I know it's a lot of work, because to make your dog sit still and do those photos and videos.
As a puppy. Don't forget, this is a puppy.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just, you know, it's a little documentation. I think, you know, it's cute, because when that dog dies, and that dog will die, that's, you know, you have a bunch of photos and memories and stuff to look back on. That's the only logical explanation. And maybe they think their dog is so good looking or human like that they're doing it to make, you know, your dog famous and, you know, get it on the map to be a model and stuff like that.
That's right. What, right. Hey, Winston, give me your best blue steel.
No, seriously, because, like, the amount of money that people make for their dogs being models and their dogs being in movies and stuff, like, it's a lot of money. You know,
I just realized, for the joke I just did, like, I turned left and Zoolander couldn't do that. So I gotta do it this way. I gotta do it, like, turn right here to the camera. Woof. Like, that's how that would work. It's been a lot of years since I saw that movie, sue me. All right. We have a comment on this, by the way. I don't believe that either, Kiara. Sure looks like a dog to me. There you go. Plus one from the audience.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
There you go. All right, I think we're about done here with our stories. We actually had a few more that we couldn't get to, but we'll be sure to include them in the reference list, in the sources list at the end of the description in this video. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to our weird news episode of Showcase for the Week Ending Sunday, March 20, 2022. My name is Don Shannon. With me tonight was Miss Kiara Douglas, and earlier we had Mr. Timpy Thompson. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. You ready for ready to close out this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. One last piece of housekeeping. Don't forget, we have Tim's video that's up on the channel that he was talking about earlier, the JoJo video. Alonzo did a thing on Elden Ring. That's a really popular game right now. I've been seeing a lot of social media traffic about that as well. And we have a top five from him on the channel as well. Be sure to check that out. And don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button and the notification bell so you can, like, get that phone pop first thing when we go live again, which is going to be with movie trailers this coming Friday night, 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. And in the meantime, be safe, be well, have a happy and productive week, and we'll see you on the flip side. Thanks for watching.
All right. Hey, guys.